we have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. That's an Epiphany hymn that many of you will be singing this coming Sunday, Hail to the Lord's Anointed, sung by the Schola Cantorum of St. Peter's in the Loop. We talk there about Jesus being anointed and he's setting captives free. You read through Mark's gospel and there he is. He's anointed right at the very beginning in his baptism. And then he starts setting the captives free. He starts freeing people from the oppression of the devil and from illness and from death. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon. It's the 2nd of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We continue our weekly series, looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary of Dr. Carl Fikencher, focusing first on Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, where Jesus is in the house of Simon's mother. He sets her free, and he's healing many, and then he's casting out demons. He's doing a lot of things there after he's been anointed in his baptism. A little bit later, the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll go through a few of your comments there and respond to as much of it as we can in the second hour of the program. Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson with him on Jesus healing a paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours for your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line. That number is 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us for our weekly series, looking forward to Sunday morning, Dr. Carl Fikencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. Always a pleasure.
Now, up to this point in our series, and we're just beginning it, but up to this point in our series, we've been going through the Sunday morning material chronologically, that is, as we will encounter it in the coming Sunday morning's Sunday service. Where would you like to begin today as we look forward to Sunday morning?
Today I'd like to start with the gospel reading, actually, which is reverse of what we've been doing, because, of course, the gospel lesson is something that the worshipers will hear later in the sequence. They'll hear the intro at first and the collect and the Old Testament lesson and so on, and eventually get around to the gospel reading. But this time, I think it's interesting because, as you mentioned in your intro just now, Jesus is doing a lot of things in this gospel reading. And it actually leaves us kind of wondering where the focus ultimately should be. And I think looking at the other propers will eventually help us discover that.
So take us into the reading. This is very early in Jesus' ministry. This is kind of one of these situations that Jesus gets himself into where he starts healing one person and then the next person. Pretty soon the house is full. Pretty soon the crowd is so great he can't move. And he spends the entire day or evening healing the entire village. What's going on here?
Okay, that's exactly what does happen here. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. And let me read the whole thing, and then we'll look at elements in it. And immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, and perhaps people remember last week, Jesus cast a demon out during the synagogue worship, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak, because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place, and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, in order that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." And he went into their synagogue throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Now, there is a lot going on here. And if we kind of look through the entire pericope, we notice that Jesus might be headed off in several directions, not just literally in terms of geography, but also in terms of the emphasis in his ministry. And what Jesus wants us to focus on is very important, really, to understand what follows. We begin with that word immediately, oikos in the Greek, that we've seen already quite a few times in this early portion of Mark. We remember that that's Mark's way of saying these things happen one after another after another. There's a steady forward motion of action that takes place in Mark. They have come out of the synagogue where Jesus cast out the demon in last week's gospel reading, and into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, of course, Simon is the apostle Peter, and we have here a clear indication that Peter was married because he has a mother-in-law who is lying sick with a fever. We picture her, obviously a woman who is very much beloved by Simon Peter and his wife, and Jesus does not hesitate at all, but immediately comes to her and raises her up, heals her. The fever leaves her immediately, and it's rather delightful, makes us chuckle, to see that then she proceeded to serve them or wait on them. She gets up and immediately goes about her tasks, which above all indicates that Jesus really had brought her a complete healing and strength. You know, most of us, when we've had the flu for a few days, take quite a few days to recover after that, not just no longer contagious, but weak for a good while. Well, Jesus' healing for his apostle's mother-in-law is complete and immediately. And then, exactly as you said, Todd, the word gets out. When evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city came to the door, and one after another, after another, after another, Jesus heals this disease, that disease, casts out many demons. It's an interesting picture, isn't it, to picture Capernaum, probably not a city of thousands of people, but in that small town, many people ill, and also many people demon-possessed. We pointed out in our examination of last week's gospel that this is a very significant theme in Mark's entire gospel, the struggle, the confrontation against Satan and his henchmen, these demons. And so he casts out the demons, he heals, and it also adds something that reflects on what we saw last week. He was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And we talked last time about how Jesus would not let those who are not authorized to speak his word do so, because that actually would cast doubt about the authority of the source. It would suggest that someone else, in this case Satan, had authority to speak when in fact he didn't. Well, all that sounds good, because we're certainly familiar with Jesus' very eager activity in healing and even now in casting out demons. And we certainly understand all the people who are afflicted in these ways wanting to have a piece of Jesus' action. But then Jesus decides he better slip away a bit, and so early in the morning he goes out to a lonely place so that even his disciples have a hard time finding him. Peter does eventually find him, and he says, everyone is looking for you. Now, that also sounds positive. It sounds encouraging. But if we read between the lines, we probably get the intention that was working in the minds of that crowd, the everyone. For example, in John chapter 6, after Jesus feeds 5,000 people, in John 6:15 it says they wanted to take him by force and make him a king. And so Jesus has to, in that case, also disappear for a while. So now Jesus says, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for, or that is why I have come. And this is an intriguing element in the gospel reading, because Jesus seems to be giving us the clear indication of just what his ministry is all about. If we understand what Jesus is saying here, and he seems to be speaking to us quite directly, then we should have everything deciphered from here on out. We should understand exactly what it is that Jesus is all about. This is what I came for. But if you look at the way it's couched in Jesus' words here, it's not all that clear. Jesus says, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. And the question really is, what is the that? If we're going to understand this pericope, if we're going to preach on this pericope, if we're going to grasp the concept fully, we need to know what that is. Why is it that Jesus has come? Well, from here, we can probably start to get some help as we look elsewhere. You know, doing exegesis or a study of the text always highlights those elements that are closest to the text. There are plenty of things right in these verses that would give us indications of what that is. And frankly, if we were doing this as a study of the gospel lesson of the Sunday, we'd spend an awful lot of time right here. But it's also true that solid study of a text, solid exegesis, also involves seeing what all of God's Word says from Genesis to Revelation that might be brought to bear on a particular passage. And that's one of the wonderful, one of the real blessings of the lectionary and of all the propers, because the lectionary, the Old Testament lesson, the epistle lesson, along with the gospel, as well as the other propers, the intro, the collect, the hymn of the day, and so on, are all selected to help throw light on one element after another. And so, frankly, if we have questions about what's going on in the gospel reading here, we might discover what's going on in Mark 1 by checking out the other propers of the day. We might, for example, look at the verse for the Sunday. The verse is usually taken from the gospel reading, not always, and it normally does have a great deal to say about the theme for the day. Well, the verse for this particular Sunday is from the gospel reading. It is from verse 39 of our pericope, and it goes this way. Alleluia! Jesus went through all cities of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Alleluia! Well, there is the last verse of this pericope, but it still leaves us wondering exactly what the that is that Jesus gives us. We've got several key words there. We've got preaching, we've got casting out demons, and we've got the word all Galilee, all the cities of Galilee. I think it'd be worthwhile to look at some of the other propers of the day now and find out if they shed light on which of these elements of the gospel really would be most in focus when Jesus says, that is why I have come.
So, okay, the principle that we're operating here with generally is the gospel runs Sunday morning. The gospel reading
right.
runs Sunday morning. But the other principle, and we recently discussed this with Pastor David Peterson in the companion series that we're doing with him on the one-year series, is that sometimes when you're looking at a text, it helps to examine, I call it kind of the collected wisdom of the church that has been handed down to us in these various propers for that given Sunday. They tell us how the church has been reading that text. Is that what you're talking about here?
Exactly. Those who have assembled the lectionary, and this is always a very thoughtful process, historically and even in the last few decades for the three-year lectionary, it's always been the product of faithful exegetes, faithful students of the Scripture, scholars on the Scripture, looking to see what is meant by this element and how it is brought to clear light by the other elements of Scripture. The other propers of the day are brought together to shed light on one another, including the gospel reading, which, as you said, does drive the lectionary.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go to the other parts of Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, to answer that question, the very question that the text has posed for us and that Dr. Fekenter has posed for us as well, and that is when Jesus says, "For that reason I came out," what is the "that" that he's talking about? We'll be right back. We have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. We're looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fekenter, our series that looks at the propers and the readings for the coming Sunday according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Fekenter's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Where would we go next? You said we should go into the propers to answer that question when Jesus says, "For that reason I have come out," to answer the question, what is the "that" he's talking about? Where do we go first?
Well, let's think about the introit. And just to recap where we've been, we said that Jesus says he wants to go and preach somewhere else because that's what he came for. And so initially it sounds as if the "that" would be to preach. And then it goes on to say, and in the last verse of the gospel lesson and our verse liturgically, that he went throughout all Galilee preaching and casting out demons. So we say, okay, maybe he means that what he is has come for is to preach, oh, and maybe to cast out demons. But then we look at the introit, and it doesn't say anything about preaching explicitly or about casting out any demons. He says, the psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And he goes on a little bit later, I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Well, I don't see demons there, and other than singing to the Lord, I don't see the Lord himself preaching to us. That's rather us responding to the Lord's preaching and all of the great things he does. And so we say, well, maybe we've missed something, or, of course, maybe the designers of the church here have dropped the ball here. Well, that's not likely. It's rather carefully done. So that does send us back looking to the gospel reading, and we realize, you know what, we seem to have forgotten something that was pretty significant there. The first part of the gospel reading was all about Jesus healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law, healing all kinds of people in Capernaum, casting out demons, which does square very nicely with what the intro it says. He has dealt bountifully with me. He has delivered me from the sleep of death. But we trust in his steadfast love to do all of these sorts of things. Well, it doesn't seem to be preaching. It doesn't seem to be casting out demons. It certainly seems to be caring for those who are downtrodden, those who are needy, those who are sick. But Jesus in the gospel reading seems to have moved away from that. How are we going to square that? Well, let's keep looking. In the collect for the day, the prayer that collects the primary elements of the Sunday's theme, we pray, O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Now there, we see mighty power. That's certainly something Christ has been demonstrating in the first part of the gospel reading when he's been casting out demons. We also see that defending and that keeping, which does remind us of the care that Jesus demonstrates for the needy in the first part of the gospel reading. Okay? Well, that suggests to us that we have something going on here that is, again, beyond just preaching, or even preaching and casting out demons. So what Jesus means when he says, that is why I have come, probably is something more than just preaching, as if to reject the working of miracles and those acts of mercy. It's probably something beyond casting out demons, which is an aspect of that. So then we might look at the Old Testament lesson, and this, I think, is very, very helpful. The Old Testament lesson, and maybe I'll read this one in its full also. This is Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the vault of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them, and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me, that I should be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them, that is of the stars, is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with eagle's wings. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Now, this is a remarkable lesson in itself, and it really does challenge us as we consider the meaning of the gospel reading and Jesus' answer to the question, what is the that he's referring to? Because, as we know, the Old Testament lesson is always very specifically keyed to the gospel reading. The gospel reading comes first, and then Old Testament lessons are selected to elucidate some aspect of the gospel or in some way overlap or amplify some aspect of the gospel reading. And so this reading bears close attention. It really has two parts. The writer, Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, asks the question, do you not know, have you not heard? And he asks this later on as well. This is his rhetorical device in Isaiah chapter 40. He's calling out for something that obviously is very important, that should be understood, as he says, from the foundations of the earth. And in the first part of the Old Testament reading, the thing he's focusing on, the thing we should know, the thing we should have heard, is on the greatness and the power of God. It is he who sits above the vault of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He's so big, he's so mighty that everything down below is just that insignificant. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. He's so powerful, he's so great that the mightiest emperor or king on earth is nothing by comparison. He merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. And then he goes on to say, to whom then will you liken me? Who will be the equal of the Holy One? Well, obviously no one. He can even count all the stars. He knows all the stars by name because of the greatness of his might. Not one of them is missing. Now, that's the first part of the Old Testament lesson, and it emphasizes that this God is incredibly great and mighty and powerful. And, of course, that does parallel what Jesus demonstrates when he casts out demons and heals the sick in the gospel reading. But then, the next part of the Old Testament reading is particularly important in focusing our attention on the gospel reading. Beginning at verse 27, what Isaiah asks is this, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Here what we have is someone on earth who recognizes that God is incredibly mighty, incredibly powerful, rules over rulers, counts the stars, made everything here and throughout the universe, but he's feeling that surely such a mighty God would not pay attention to him. What he needs down here on earth would be hidden from the Lord, would escape the Lord's notice. And that's a scary kind of thought for us when we think God is so great and so powerful that he is beyond what we could possibly know or his knowing of us. But that's not where the Old Testament lesson winds up. Instead, the do you not know, have you not heard comes up again. And the wonderful answer from Isaiah is that this everlasting God, the one who created the universe, does not become tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Even young men and mighty men might wear out, but when we trust in the Lord, that will never happen. That is, as weak and insignificant as we may be, by his power we will mount up as if on wings of eagles. The great God, the almighty God who rules all things, has this attention to the weak and the weary here on earth.
Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll pick it up right there. We're right in the middle of the Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday, and we're looking forward to Sunday morning, working our way from the gospel through the other readings and through the other propers for this coming Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Another half hour with Dr. Frequencher, completing this coming Sunday's propers, and then we'll go through the Issues Etc. comment line for a few minutes, respond to some of your questions and comments there. Then we'll teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker in Mark chapter 10. Stay tuned.
Christianity once turned the world upside down. Is it still true? Join us for the Village Lutheran Lectures on Christianity and Culture on February the 7th, 2 to 4 p.m., as Dr. Alvin Schmidt reminds us of the Church's rich heritage of turning the world upside down and invites us to continue that very thing today. Join us at Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road in suburban St. Louis.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong. Austria.
Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
The Epiphany hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed, stanza 4. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. Dr. Carl Frequencher is our guest. Dr. Frequencher, you had explained the two parts of the Old Testament reading that we have here. Recap for us what we've got so far and how this Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday is going to really turn us right back to the gospel reading.
Okay, good. We're getting a lot of pieces that, in my mind, are beginning to fit together, and I hope that they will for all the listeners as well. You see, we're really looking back to the gospel reading, trying to understand what Jesus means when he says in Mark 1, verse 38, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And we're asking the question, what is the that? Is it Jesus leaving Capernaum, where people want him to do miracles, so that he can preach? Or, as the verse, which is actually the following verse of the gospel lesson suggests, is it to preach and cast out demons? Well, does that mean that Jesus really doesn't want to emphasize the things that have been happening in the first part of the gospel reading, the healings and the help of those who are in need? Well, the Old Testament lesson, like the intro and the collect before, suggested that Jesus, that God's care for the needy is very significant, because in the Old Testament lesson that we saw God being so mighty and yet reaching down and caring for each insignificant, seemingly insignificant person, the weary, the tired, those who think that they themselves are too insignificant for such a mighty God to notice. But this, I believe, really begins to give us the clue as to what Jesus means in the gospel reading. Because when we picture God being as mighty as he is, clearly demonstrated in Jesus' healing miracles, clearly emphasized in the first part of the Old Testament lesson, and then we discover that in the second half of the Old Testament lesson, the Lord Almighty does care for the most insignificant person, then we begin to get the picture that really what's going on here is talking about how such a great God does not overlook anyone, wants to extend his love and his care to everyone, wants no one to be left out. So then we look back at the gospel reading, and we remember those healings, and we remember Jesus saying that he must go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach also, for this is what I came out for. And it's beginning to become clear that it's not a matter of saying preaching is what he came out for, although certainly that's part of his ministry. If that were the case, if that were his only real emphasis, it would seem to deny the importance of what had preceded in the gospel reading, the healings, the casting out of demons. But rather in that verse when Jesus says, let us go somewhere else. This now becomes the key. That is what I came for. I came not just to be here in Capernaum. I came to be in Capernaum, but also in Cana and in Nazareth and in Judea and ultimately through his disciples in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I did not want to overlook anyone. As mighty as I am, the Almighty Lord, as the person addressed in the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah recalls, he cared about the weary, the weak, who thought he was too important, too busy for them. You see, Jesus was very eager and very much in earnest to do those healings, those exorcisms in Capernaum. That was what he came for, certainly it was, as well as to preach by words. But the same things Jesus did in Capernaum, now he wishes to do other places as well. That is what I came for. Well, it is to go everywhere with preaching, with casting out demons, with healings, and with all kinds of care, with the care that he can give to everyone, every place, all who are weak, all who are weary, as the Old Testament lesson describes. That is what I came for. It means to go everywhere with all of these wonderful gifts, including the preaching of the word, casting out demons, and healings.
So really, just to put a fine point on that, because it's very important to note, what Jesus is saying, in essence, is I've come not just to heal a few, but all. I've come not just to preach to a few, but all. I've come not just to deal with the sins of a few or the consequences of sins for a few, but for all.
Exactly. And that's why it was so significant when Simon Peter came out to Jesus in that lonely place and said, everyone is looking for you. They wanted to keep Jesus in their place. They wanted him to be just their healer, their exorcist, as in John chapter 6. They wanted to make him their bread king in this place when Jesus has really come for a bigger mission, to extend his love, his healing, his preaching, his exorcism, his forgiveness of sins, his deliverance from death and the devil to everyone. And you know, actually, the fact is, Todd, that really brings us to the gradual of this day. The gradual is an element in the worship service that is continuous throughout the entire season, not just for one Sunday. So we've looked at this briefly in other Sundays already of the Epiphany season. But here, listen to what it says. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us. That love that forgives, that heals, that preaches the good news, that frees, that liberates, that exercises, is for all nations, all peoples. And so if we look back at the verse for this day, we realize that it really has given us a very solid direction. When the verse for this day says, Alleluia, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons, Alleluia, it's the all that really is the emphatic word there, as somewhere else, everywhere else, that is what Jesus came for.
So that is, once we've got that kind of laid out for us, it makes perfect sense that those who have assembled this lectionary would have the often misunderstood 1 Corinthians 9 epistle.
Exactly, because the epistle lesson elaborates on this in a wonderful way. It's true, as we've observed before, that the epistle lesson is not necessarily so closely tied to the theme of the day as are the other lessons, especially during the season of Epiphany. But listen to what comes in the epistle lesson this week from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The entire reading is beginning at verse 16 and going through verse 27, but we'll focus on verse 19 and following. St. Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." St. Paul is telling us here that his gospel, the gospel that he preaches, is for all people. And you're right, we could elaborate at length on the misunderstandings of that verse, but this really is a very strong connection to what Jesus is saying when he goes to all Galilee preaching. He goes not just to Capernaum, but also somewhere else. Paul realizes that what Christ has done is not just for one nation, just as it was not in the gospel reading for one town, not just for Capernaum, neither is it for just the Jews, but is for all people, those who are of the circumcision, those who have the law, that is, the Old Testament law. Yes, Christ and his gospel is for them. But for those who are without the law, that is, those who did not have the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah, Christ's gospel is for them as well. Christ has come to save them. His death on the cross is as certain and applicable to their lives in their particular sins and their particular needs as to the Jews and their needs. And of course, this is a wonderful assurance to all of us who might wonder if, like the one hearing the words of Isaiah, such a great Messiah as Christ Jesus really has time for us, really notices us, really cares about us.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him on this Monday afternoon, February the 2nd. It's our series, our weekly series with him, looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Substitute Organist Service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the Substitute Organist Service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
How does confessional Lutheran theology measure up against popular yet false worldviews, ideas, and religions? Find out at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Friday, February 6th and Saturday, February 7th at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Meet and hear regular guests Chris Rosebro, Dr. Joel Heck, and others at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 6th and 7th in San Antonio. flc-sa.org, flc-sa.org. The Schola Cantorum of St. Peter's in the Loop with the final stanza of the Epiphany hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., our weekly series with Dr. Carl Fekencher on looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary, the three-year system of readings for the church. I remember years ago a guest, and I believe it was Pastor John Pless, who said when we were talking about devotions, he said, you know, if you want to get your devotional life straight, you need to understand one thing, and that is that the Christian's devotional life doesn't begin in the privacy of his prayer closet or even around the kitchen table with the family. His devotional life begins on Sunday morning. That's where the life is drawn from the preaching of God's word, from the sacrament of the Lord's table. That's where it's the center of the Christian's devotional life. But of course, it extends to the kitchen table and to one's private prayers and all of those things, a great resource. For that day-by-day, that weekday devotional life that is rooted on Sunday morning is the Concordia Psalter. It's a great new devotional resource of the Old Testament Psalms from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Concordia Psalter, brand new from them, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Fekencher, we got one more proper, so to speak, to do here, and then we kind of have to bring all of this together. And the proper I wanted to talk about was the hymn of the day. What is it?
Well, the hymn of the day that you've been playing for us is a beautiful choice for the Epiphany season, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. And it really does pick up many of the aspects that we've been developing here. It really brings them together in a way that picks up the very point we've been making. I'll read again some of the words of the stanzas, and hear the things that we've already been talking about. Stanza 1, Hail to the Lord's Anointed, Great David's Greater Son. Hail the time appointed, His reign on earth begun. See, already we're seeing what's going on, that we have as the gospel reading made very clear the powerful, powerful Son of God who can cast out demons, who can heal with a word, the one who has counted and named the stars, who created all things, as the prophet Isaiah makes clear, now in flesh among us. He reigns on earth. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule inequity. That's the one who we're talking about here, who is doing all those things that cast that attracted such attention in the gospel reading and gave such joy in the Old Testament lesson as well. Stanza 2, he comes with rescue speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and bid the weak be strong. Isaiah used that word weak and the word weary again and again and again. And we can picture ourselves that way. When Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from that fever that in those days undoubtedly would have been fatal, and all those others in Capernaum were suffering with all kinds of diseases, they were in need of rescue. They were weak. They were sighing, the hymn says, to give them songs for sighing. Their darkness turned to light, whose souls condemned and dying were precious in his sight. The Old Testament lesson reader, the one hearing the initial prophecies of Isaiah, would hear about how mighty this Lord was and think, well, surely he's too great, he's too powerful to spend time with the weak and weary likes of me. But no, those souls were precious in his sight. All those people of Capernaum were very precious to Jesus. He had an agenda to save the entire world, but they mattered to him. Well, so also did those in other places. Stanza 4, kings shall fall down before him, and gold and incense bring, all nations shall adore him. Again, we see how powerful and mighty he is. Again, that's an image also that Isaiah used in his Old Testament lesson, where he talked about the rulers and judges of the earth being insignificant compared to the Lord. Here we see they will bow down before him. Of course, that brings to mind the infant or the very small toddler Jesus being worshipped by the wise men, bringing their gold and incense from great distances. And then again, we see this: all nations shall adore him. Or in the fifth stanza, or every foe victorious, he on his throne shall rest, from age to age more glorious, all blessing and all blessed. It's an amazing thing that the God who rules over all things cares about each individual, about those in Capernaum, about Peter's mother-in-law, those others in Capernaum, and yes, he was very much in earnest to care for all of their needs. Only when they wanted to keep him for themselves did he have to move on to somewhere else. That is why he came, to reach not only Capernaum, but the entire world. All blessing, all nations shall adore him. It's a magnificent hymn that really does gather together all of these ideas. It's a nice way to put poetically what I would say is essentially this theme for the week. Here's the way I've worded it, much less poetically. The Almighty Lord is dedicated to serving all the needy. The Almighty Lord is dedicated to serving all the needy. The Almighty Lord is the conqueror of Satan and all his demons. He is the one who moves the stars around, who created all things. But he is dedicated, and I mean that word quite specifically. He really cares. He has an earnest longing in his heart for all of those who are needy, for the person who is sick with physical ailments, the person who is oppressed by a demon. Every single one of us who is oppressed by our sin, and by our sin a slave of Satan, he cares for each and every one of us. He has time for us. He knows our needs. He comes to us wherever we are. He will not be contained in one location that would like to keep him as their own. Wherever I am, he has come to me. And of course, this is what we're reminded of every Sunday as we come into God's house. When we come together this Sunday and hear all of these lessons, we can know that he is right here in this house, not just in the synagogue in Capernaum, not just healing a few, but he is there in his word, these very words, his sacrament, caring for us. And I think that's a magnificent comfort to us.
Dr. Carl Fekanter is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Look forward to next week's installment of our series. Looking forward to Sunday morning with you, Dr. Fekanter.
It'll be a pleasure. Thanks, Todd.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly series with Dr. Fekanter, looking forward to Sunday morning, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. That's our monthly or annual donor program. Now, if you join or upgrade during the month of February, we will send you the new Concordia Psalter in addition to all the other benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron. You can find out more about how to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, those other premiums like t-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation will all be yours. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385, or send him an email, craig@issuesetc.org. Remember, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When we come back, we're going to spend the first part of our second hour on this Monday afternoon going through your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll answer a few questions or comments, and then Pastor Tom Baker is going to join us as he does every week. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in Mark chapter 10, Jesus healing the paralyzed man. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho, Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri, Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa, St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.